Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women.
We highlight the Latinx presence in the comic book industry as creators, characters, and fans.
Join us as we talk chisme, comics, fandom, and beer.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Las Pláticas. As you guys know, we haven't done a Las Pláticas in a very long time. So today, who do we have in Las Pláticas today, Kristen?
Well, nobody better than to bring us back into the fold of interviews with Comadres y Comics. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with guest Ricardo Padilla. Ricardo is the executive director and co-founder of the Latino Comics Expo, which has been uplifting Latinx voices in the comic book industry since 1921. I wanted it to be 1921.
Can you imagine?
My past life.
The Latino Comics Expo is the nation's first convention dedicated to highlighting the work of comic book creators, illustrators, and others in the literary and visual arts whose work reflects the influence and celebration of the Latinx culture. This year, the Latino Comics Expo will be on September 9th and 10th at the Museum of Latin American Art in Long Beach. Ricardo joins us today to tell us more about the event and about honoring Latinx comic creators. Welcome to Las Pláticas, Ricardo. Yay!
I feel so honored to be with you guys. This is so cool. Thank you.
We're happy to have you.
Well, I was very excited to have you on the show. And when I looked back at our history, it was back in 2017 when we interviewed Javier for highlighting the expo. And so, oh my gosh, it's been a long time. Wow. And it is overdue for having a representative of the expo on the show. So welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. But we don't call him Javi. We call him the legendary co-founder.
Deservedly so.
LCF.
We definitely would love to give you the opportunity to spread the word about the Latino Comics Expo during this interview. So can you talk a little bit about how the idea of creating a Latino Comics Expo came to be?
Wow. That's the ultimate creation story. But we've been doing it since 2011. So this is going to be our 11th Expo, you know, ya mero 12. But since 2011, for sure, we've been starting it. And it kind of just starts, you know, it started with, I guess, being a parent, really, because comics was always a very important thing in my life growing up in Los, you know, Huntington Park. You know, I always say comic books, reading, that saved my life, you know, being able to get into reading and an imaginary world and just having my own space in comics, that really kept me out of a lot of trouble. And I've always been thankful for comics. So when I had my two little kids, a boy and a girl, I was like, I'm going to show them comics. I'm going to introduce them to comics. They're going to love it or else. And we jumped into the comic scene at a really crazy time because it was really like when Comic-Con was really starting to get big in the 90s and stuff like that. But, of course, it was kind of rough, especially when you had a little girl, because that was the time of, you know, vampires with bikinis, zombies with bikinis, everybody with bikinis. And my daughter, she was like a really smart little girl. And she was like, Daddy, you know, where are all the Aztec warriors? You know, where are the Aztec princesses you always tell me about? You know, I don't see no Mayan culture. You know, and I was like, oh, my God. It's like, and even my son, he was like, kind of like, well, you know, he was very smart. So he wanted something more than your average kind of like Comic-Con thing. And I used to get kind of frustrated too, because, you know, you go to Comic-Con and you might see like one cool Latina here, one cool Latino over there, but everybody's at like Hunger Games. And I would get mad. I was like, people should be at your table. People should be buying your comics. And then they would say, well, why don't you do your own expo then, instead of complaining every year, you know, do your own expo. So that kind of was the story, just for something else for kids. And just, you know, the need was there. The need was there for our voice and our comic book creators to have their own space.
So we did refer to Javier as the, I forgot what you said, but the
legendary co-founder.
Yeah, legendary co-founder. Had you guys always been friends, or how did that partnership come to be?
Well, you know what? I've always been kind of like loud. So like I said, like we would go to all the other alternative expos and all the smaller ones, Ape, WonderCon. And it was in the end, you know, for my kids, I was always on the hunt for like a Latina creator. So I would meet these artists and I was like, oh my God, your name is Javier Hernandez and you're doing El Muerto, or, you know, oh, you're Rody Montijo and you're doing, you know, Pablo's Inferno. So you would meet these guys here and there and here and there. And then, you know, after a few years of going to the expos, we just became like a band of brothers, a band of friends. So that's kind of how it started. I didn't know them, but just at expos and going to shows and loving their work, we just kind of got together.
Oh, I love that. Okay. That's part of the story that I didn't know. So thank you.
No, and I thought it was cool because sometimes, you know, artists are always working in their own cave, you know, or even Latino guys, it's hard to like make friendships. So that's kind of what I'm proud of too, is that a lot of guys, a lot of artists, and some, you know, artistas, Latinas too, have been able to like to come together to create this organic expo. Because I always say the expo kind of belongs to everybody, you know, and everybody who's come in has, you know, made it special. So all the artists that I've met, all the Latinas and Latinos, we've all kind of come together.
That really sounds amazing. So Latinx comic creators, like you said, are definitely not in the majority in the industry. Which Latinx creators influenced you to create the platform to highlight their work? In addition, we'd love to know who your favorite comic writers, artists, and characters are.
That's a good question, too. I mean, I have to admit that when I was small, like everybody else, Mad Magazine, so, you know, Spy vs. Spy, Sergio Aragonés, he's like, you know, you bow down to them, because that was really, I would see that name, Sergio Aragonés, he's one of us for sure. You know, and then, you know, people like Spain Rodriguez in the underground comic scene, those guys, you know, I was like, that's people that I could admire. And then, but I have to admit is that the artists that I've met, you know, in the expos, in the shows, all these guys, like I said, Rafael Navarro, you know, Graciela Rodriguez, all the people that you've met really inspire me, because they're doing amazing work, independent work, not in the mainstream. And that's kind of what keeps the fire of the expo going. It's just like, that's kind of what I love, is showing the rest of the world all these cool Latino and Latina artists that, you know, we love so much.
Mm-hmm. I love that you actually mentioned the underground component of the comic book industry, because there were so many people in the underground community who were from marginalized communities that couldn't find a place anywhere else. And so they created that space for themselves. And so I really appreciate that, at least in the years that I have participated, that you had the Hernandez brothers as part of your show, because they are definitely huge icons in the underground industry and in the comic book industry, as it were. But to just be able to honor that, because that's super, super amazing.
No, I really have to give them a special shout out, because, you know, we do an amazing show. Like I said, everybody in the community pitches in, the artists pitch in. But, you know, people don't know the struggles. People probably don't know the struggles of your amazing podcast too. They think like, oh, they just whip it up, you know. But the reason that Expo has been so, I think, successful in my heart is because we've had people like the Hernandez brothers from day one be at our side and say, whatever you guys need. Because we were honest. We're like, you know what? We're like a no-budget show. We're pura raza. We want to do something for the community. We have no budget. Will you be with us? And Jaime, you know, said, we're down. Whatever you guys need, just let us know. And it was like, whoa. So sometimes when they say, don't meet your heroes, but this time it was cool to meet your heroes, because they've been right there, you know, supporting us from day one. So that's why we love, you know, supporting them and anything they need. You know, the expo has got their back for sure.
Well, I'm glad that you brought up, well,
I'm glad that you brought up that, our kind of our next segue. Not glad that it happened, but there are struggles in making something like this expo. Can you tell us a little bit, if any of the struggles of developing the event from, you know, its first inception even till now, and what has been your greatest success with the expo as well?
Dang, Jennifer getting all 60 minutes on me right here.
Okay. Yeah, of course. I want to know the down low.
I mean, the challenges, and like I said, because Javi, as LCF, legendary co-founder, he's mostly been like the artistic director, and that's why all the artists love him. He knows most of the artists. He chooses the artists. Like you can't just get into the expo, you know. You have to pass, you know, Uncle Javi. You know, if Uncle Javi don't like you, no. But you have to have like a comic. You have to be like, you know, an artista. Mm-hmm. You have to be serious to get past Uncle Javi. Let me leave it at that. So, but me, I've kind of like been more like the administrative, the fundraising, corporate America. And that's what sucks. Cause yeah. If I had like $100 each time somebody said like, why do you guys need a Latino convention? Just come with us. You don't need that. You know, just be with us. You know, it's like, no, you don't understand. We like to party with our own people. No, just kidding.
Hey, there's no
like,
party like a Latino party.
Yeah. Latino comic, you know. Why are you trying to separate yourself from us? And it's like, and just like the fundraising has always been a challenge. I mean, some companies have been cool, but you know, it's been an education. So that's why I say from day one, from now, I feel like I've been educating so much, just telling people, you know, there's Mexicans, there's Central Americans, mm-hmm. you know, we love to read. We love comic books. You know, 30% of the people that go see all those Marvel films is us. You know, I've had to do so much education that it's kind of been a trip. So that's from day one. I think that's been the obstacles. Mm-hmm. Of course, now I see that there's all kind of expos and festivals, and I kind of feel like I think we've been part of that movement where now you do see like, you know, African Americans have their shows. There's other Latino shows. Asians have their shows. I mean, one of the things I've been proud of too is that, you know, we've helped start other shows. Like we helped start SoulCon. We started to help QueerCon when that started in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And that was fun getting them off and rolling. And at our show, that's why I've always been thankful. Another shout out to Josh Trujillo. He hosted our first ever LGBT panel that we had.
Oh,
like,
right. Yeah.
And I was very proud of that because that's another barrier in our community. People still got to, you know, wake mm-hmm. up from that. But we've always been proud that we've had our LGBTQ panel. We've always had Prism Press there mm-hmm. with a table to represent, you know, people need that. That's life and death stuff. So that's one thing that's been a barrier. But I'm like, you know what? We're going to pass through this and hit people up to, you know, to other, like you said, communities in our own raza that need this. So we're not gonna close any doors. You know, it's definitely a safe space for everybody in the comunidad. So that's why I've been proud of that, and I look forward to us, you know, making that relationship bigger and stronger.
I just wanted to talk about the last question Jen asked, because I'm really interested. What do you consider to be the biggest, greatest success of the expo?
Wow. Like I said, well, you know, one thing for sure, it makes me, my heart fills up because in the end, you know, it's all about money, right? It's all about money. But I can tell you honestly, so many artists have come up to us after an expo and said, you know what? I just did my year's tops in sales at the Latino Comics Expo, mm-hmm. or they come back after a couple, two, three, every year I come to the expo, I make my top sales. And that fills my heart because I go, you know what? We're getting to the public that wants this kind of material, that wants this kind of literature. So just the fact that a lot of the artistas make sales and that we're connecting, you know, the market to the sellers, that makes me happy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but the other thing too is I have to admit, we have our most trouble with the millennials. You know, they're the ones with Star Wars and and DC. So there, that market is pretty tough to reach. But the two markets that we are getting on lockdown is for sure the OGs. A lot of OGs have come up to me with tears in their eyes saying, dude, I've always dreamed that we would have our own comic books, our own comic book convention. So the older OGs, they love us. And then just to see the look on little kids' eyes too, that always makes it for us. We'll see like little kids, like 5, 6 years old going, mom, an Aztec warrior, or the little girls, you know, a Latina princess, you know, a Mayan, you know, warrior. And they're just, their eyes, and I'm like, you know what? We're doing something important. We may not see it now. We may not get a dollar out of it, but just the look on those little kid eyes, I think that's the greatest things. Because I know, you know, that our story will get out there, you know. Our creative dreams will get out there. You know, we don't see it all the time, but we're building for the future. We're building for now. And like I said, when I see those little kids' faces and those old guys' faces, I go, you know, we're on the right path.
Awesome. That sounds amazing. One of the lovely things about this expo is that it's very family friendly. So a lot of the parents come and bring their kids. And the cool thing too is that it's at the museum. So not only do they get exposed to Latin creators and comics and books and art as well, which is amazing, you know, and there's a lot of art that can be, it's just very moving. I mean, there are some times that I go over there and there's these pieces of art that I'm like, wow, I just didn't, It just touches you in this just profound way with your culture involved. It is just beautiful.
No, you're right. And that's been a goal of the expos. We've tried to keep it classy in libraries, museums. Because, you know, we've got a lot of offers like, you know, oh, just do it at the VFW or, oh, just do it at the American Legion. And that's cool. But we love those places too. But, you know, let's take it to that next level. Let's expose kids to libraries, to museums. Because really, those are the places that are underrepresented in our community, too. It's like, we need more of our kids, more of our young people to go to these places. So that's how we sell it. It's like, hey, host us as an expo, and you'll get a younger demographic to your venue, you know. So it's very important. You're right.
How did that partnership develop? I'm really interested to know because I think it's the perfect partnership, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I loved, just like Sarah said, being part of that entire, just like a museum about us. Like that just blew my mind the first time that I stepped foot in there. And I love that. And the fact that you were able to make that partnership happen, I'd love to know, like, how did that come to be?
Wow. You guys are really getting into the deep, dark origins of the expo. but you know what? I think really it's two things that I realized at the beginning is that we can't be afraid of partnerships. You know, sometimes somebody will have a good idea. Sometimes a group will be on a good idea, but there they are. And what I've learned in the 11, 12 years is we can't be afraid to reach out that hand and say, will you help us? We are also Latino creatives. We are also trying to bring people from the community. So a lot of times it's just been like, we just ask. We are not afraid to ask. And like, especially these places that get like tax dollars or they get community funding, it's like, mm-hmm. You know, we're the community too, you know. And a lot of museums, it is hard because there is a cult of the PhD. Like if you don't have a PhD, then you can't even walk into a museum. And we try to come in on the other side like, hey, you know all the people that work in this museum? We're their kids and we want access to the museum. So, and the other third thing too is like to realize that a lot of these venues need us as well, is that we have to realize too that we do bring value. So it's not like, oh, you guys are doing us a favor. No. We're doing you a favor as well by bringing all our people to the library, but we're bringing our people to the museum. So, because sometimes I think we have that like, oh, will you please let us come to your library? Will you please let? No. We have to be a little bit more like, you know what? This was funded by Tax Dollars or my dad. Tax Dollars built this. We want to use it. So, you know, sometimes you just have to be bold like that. But, you know, I talk all this smack, but I have to admit that Mola has been a different case. They've been so sweet to us since day one that I look at them as a blessing because, you know, they've kind of mentored us in how to be professional. Sometimes when you're from the hood, you're like, we want to put on a show. It's like, no, you need a budget. You need Excel. You need funding, you know. So they've kind of gotten us on the right track. So with Mola, it's been a long-term relationship with them, working with them, willing, you know, to be humble and accept, you know, criticism and suggestions. Because our first two were at the Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco, and we learned a lot from them. Then we went to the Martin Luther King Library in San Jose, you know, and then over here in Long Beach. So it's always been museums, libraries, and, you know, we've been mentored and we've learned a lot, but the one thing is we were not afraid to ask. And that's what I always tell people is like, because they say, how did you do it? It's like, you know what? I was not afraid to ask. And I put myself out there and, you know, and that, I know that's the scariest thing because people hate rejection.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's like, if I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be rejected by a Latino venue or a Latino museum, because to be rejected by the other side, that hurts. But I'm like, let's ask our own people that have these positions. And when they tell me no, I always say, you know what? This is not why Cesar Chavez was protesting. I give that little Latino guilt. I'm like, Cesar Chavez did not lose 45 pounds so that you would say no.
But, so yeah. Something that I often struggle with being a comic book retailer is trying to legitimize comic books as an actual legitimate art medium and literary medium. Did you ever run into that issue at all in dealing with any of the museums?
Yes. Yes. And that's the sad thing, too, because, I mean, you've been to a lot of shows. You know a lot of artists. You know the amazing work that is being done. And I call it figurative art because people are still drawing and it's just amazing what's out there, you know? So for other people to say, oh, this is not like, you know, the naked picture of the donkey in the field.
Yeah, it's not.
Or pop art, where it's like art. Your comic book, you know, it's like, I don't believe that. And I always tell them, you know, you don't think it's art? Look at that price at auction. See how much that comic book art or like you said, Jaime Hernandez, see how much some original Jaime Hernandez drawings go for at auction, you know, because like I said, money is always the answer. So the money for comic book art is there, but just like you're right, the acceptance and that's sort of heartbreaking because, you know, I had a very famous collector tell us, you know, I don't collect comic book art. It's not art. And I'm like,
oh, that hurts my heart.
Yeah, me too. And I was like, that's, you know, that's, like I said, part of the 12 years of education. And we've turned a lot of museums around. We've been invited, you know, we've been to Columbus, Ohio. We've been to, you know, Brownsville, Texas. People around the country are recognizing for it is. That's why I said we're kind of like the pioneers. You know, we've traveled hard in distant lands, but people are finally starting to get it, you know. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be after we're gone, but the next generation hopefully will remember us as people that tried.
Oh, of course.
Over the years, you have had some amazing artists contribute to the official poster of the expo. Tell us who created the poster this year and what do you and the artists hope to convey with this image? Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm getting goosebumps because the artist that did the poster this year, we call her the official angel of the expo. Her name is Crystal Gonzalez.
Yay!
Yeah.
We know. Amazing artist. And she's another one, like from day one, she's been there to support, to donate her time. And just her art is amazing as well. And I have to admit, in the last couple of years, we've kind of felt, not the pressure, but we would go, you know what? We also have to put some amazing female artists to do the poster, because I think the first, like, I don't know, maybe 6 years, it was all guys doing the poster. And I think it was our LCF told us, you know, we need to change with the times. And, it's like, and you know, it's one of those things, like, if you're not careful, it'll slip your mind. 6 years will pass. And we're like, oh, my God. And we go, you know, this is going to be easy because we have some amazing female artists. And Crystal is just, you know, amazing. And with this year's poster, we also try to celebrate that it's the 25th anniversary of Javi's El Muerto comic, the legendary comic.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I mean about Expo, is like, you'll actually meet a person who's worked 25 years on their own comic. It's when you think about that, that's Van Gogh determination, dedication. So we definitely, on his 25th year, wanted to give him a shout out and say, that is a career in comics that needs to be respected. And also, you know, we always just like Crystal, because she's a little bit freaky. You know, like, even her, like, and Mentos got like their little gangster lean. And I mean, she's an amazing artist, and we're just happy she's with us. That's why the only thing that gets me upset is when, like, I hear an artist say, oh, I'm not going to go to the expo this year. I'm going to go to this other expo in New Hampshire or Boston or something like that. I was like, you know what? Our show is way better than that show, you know. I don't care what it's called or whatever, small press, I don't know. You're going to miss that show for our show? I'm like, no way. We got the best show, you know. You've kind of Crystal, the Hernandez brothers, you know, we'll throw in a couple here and there. And it's like, no way. We have an amazing show. And like I said, we're lucky that Crystal is with us.
Oh, we love Crystal. Sarah has a schizo backpack that she carries around to all the conventions.
Lucky, lucky.
Oh, totally love my backpack. I get so many compliments. It's like my travel backpack. I love it.
Yeah. You know, and that's the kind of like the dream too, is like our expo too, is we always hope that, you know, people discover new artists, people get opportunities, networking, you know. The cool thing is, like, for example, this year, Crystal's, you know, been getting offers, you know, from the museum to do other work. So, stuff like that. It's like, we've got to come together, show the world what we have, but also, like, try to provide opportunities. And like I said, networking and stuff, and everybody can help each other out and stuff like that. That's the dream as well.
Yeah. Speaking of helping each other out, your expo has listed one of its goals as promoting literacy among youth through several means of comic art-related methods, including books, graphic novels, and comic strips. Can you please tell us more about why this goal is important to you personally and how you've ensured the youth have access to your expo? And you've touched upon it a little bit more, but can you tell us, like how do you promote it? How do you get people excited to go to a museum to see this expo?
Salty. No. The thing is, I feel a little bit guilty this year, but, you know, after COVID and stuff like that, we're just happy to be back in person, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And usually we do have like, workshops, how to do your own zine, stuff like that to help young people create their own, mode of communication like that. But, you know, I think it all goes back to our upbringing as well. Like I tell people, I grew up on Florence Avenue Elementary, down over there in Huntington Park. You know, I saw how important education was. And, you know, it breaks my heart to see that we're still like at 50% dropout rates, especially among young boys. And you see that a lot of the reason is because they don't learn how to read. And I think the statistics say if they don't fully engage and enjoy reading by the time they're in third and fourth grade, they never pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say that comic books especially can be a tremendous force to help young people in reading. That's why I tell all the moms that come to the shows, your son doesn't like to read? No, I get them for the little girls, you know, the little girls, you know, for sure. And I'm like, you know what? You've got to persist. You've got to keep going. Let him, maybe if he reads something that he's interested in, maybe if he reads something where the little boys are brown like him, you know, maybe if he sees characters that look like his abuelita or his mom or dad, you know, sometimes the Huckleberry Finn is not going to apply to everybody. You know, the Odyssey is not going to apply, but you got to get kids learning and loving to read by whatever means, you know. Like I said, I was Mad Magazine, you know, I was, you know, Silver Surfer. But these little kids, especially the little boys, you've got to get to them early, and you've got to create that love of reading. So comics, to me, I think, does that. And our expo, you know, definitely, you know, tries to do that, encourage reading and say, you know, it's cool. It's cut. You know, reading is cool.
It is. I love it. So out of all of the creators you've had over the years, you've had some amazing ones. You've talked about the Hernandez brothers. You've talked about Crystal. Are there any creators that are going to be guests this year that are brand new to the expo that you're excited to introduce to the community?
Well, there's only so many, but like, for example, this year, and it might not be a comic book creator, but I just feel like he's such a legend in the community. He has so much information to give. But this year we do have the legendary movie producer Moctezuma Esparza, known as the producer of Selena, the movie, the man who said, yes, we're going to hire Jennifer Lopez. The other Jennifer Lopez. So can you imagine what stories? Because, like, I mean, in that comic book expo, we have so many people who would love to get their comic done into a movie. And yeah. I always tell them, in a room at your expo, there's going to be a man who knows where to get the money, at least, you know, or who has raised the money for a Hollywood film. That's what you need to be asking questions, you know. Mm-hmm. And he will be at our expo, Moctezuma Esparza, you know, Ballad of Gregorio Cortez, the Cisco Kid, that walkout movie on HBO. I mean, he's a legend. I mean, I hope people show up on that panel. That'll be on Sunday, moderated by yours truly. But, you know, we just have a lot of guys. I always tell people, go check out Richard Dominguez. He's coming all the way out from Texas. He does the famous El Gato Negro.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys have heard of the MacArthur Grant, but they call it the Genius Grant.
Yeah.
We will have the winners of the last MacArthur Grant, film director Alex Rivera and his wife.
Oh, wow.
They did the movie Sleep Dealer. If you guys haven't seen that, have you seen that?
No.
Oh, my God. Latino sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Count me in.
Really, you guys, your minds are going to get blown, and you're going to say, oh, my God, Ricardo, you are so deep. You need to co-found a Latino comic book show. Sleep Dealer is the most amazing movie you guys will see. And the cool thing is that it was a husband and wife team that did it. So it's a good example for us that have been to married. I have to give a shout out to my wife, Rosita, the unofficial sponsor of the Latino Comics Expo. But 29 years I've been with my wife, so that's another secret of the
Congratulations.
Expo. That's another secret without her and our family. So,
before we move on to the next question, you're mentioning some panels that you have. So, I'm curious: has the expo always had panels, or is that something that you added later on in the years?
No, hobby's always been. You know, like, we're not taking a backseat to no other expos. If Comic-Con has panels, we're going to have panels. So since day one, so that's what I've been proud of. Like, some of our panels have been 11 years now. Like, our Latina Power, we've been doing that for 11 years.
Nice.
Even before the Me Too movement. we knew we had to keep our Latinas happy. So we've always had that panel. We'll go on for a record 11th year. Alex Rivera and his wife, Moctezuma. Of course, Javi with his 25th anniversary of El Muerto. And I think the comadres always are on the...
Yes, the Latina Power panel has been moderated by myself in the past, and Javi did ask for me to moderate it this year. So I will be doing so, and you can come and check out the panel. I believe that one's on Saturday. I love moderating that panel. I love all the panelists that...
It gets feisty.
And it's always a great conversation, and those women never hold back. So I very much look forward to it every year.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, the expo, like I said, it's an organic thing. It keeps growing, it keeps changing. But like you said, when you think of all the people that have come and everything, you know, like last year we had Jorge Gutierrez, Book of Life, you know, mm-hmm. Mayan the Three. And, you know, when he first accepted, he goes, I'm busy at Netflix. I only have an hour and a half. And we're like, whatever time you had, right? But of course, after his panel, he saw like a line of like little kids outside. Mm-hmm. And he stayed like 2 more hours. He goes, I can stay 2 more hours until the line goes down. And then, you know, there were still more people. He goes, I'll stay 2 more. He wound up staying like the whole day.
Yeah. And I remember him the whole day.
And it was just that, you know, people like that, they see what we're trying to do. And it really is a community thing. And, you know, whoever sees this, whoever hears of us, just know that it's a community-based, artistic-based thing. And we really do it for the comunidad, you know, mm-hmm. so that we can have something safe and positive, you know, for our families and for anybody that loves comics and animation.
That's awesome.
I should ask you, Kristen, what has been your favorite moment at an expo? You've been to a lot of them.
At any expo?
Can you think of like your top two moments?
I guess. Your dreams.
Honestly, my very first expo, Jaime Hernandez was there, and he came up to us and took a selfie with us because we shared with him that Love and Rockets, Maggie the Mechanic was our very first book that we reviewed on Komasi Comics, episode number one. We reviewed that book. And when he was walking around looking at all the tables, we got excited and we mentioned it to him. And he came back, he left and came back and took a selfie with us. And that picture has always been one of my favorite pictures and also one of my favorite moments. And at the same expo, Lalo was there, and we were new to, you know, meeting all these comic creators and learning who they were and stuff. And we were hauling all of our stuff, and Lalo offered to help us to carry all of our stuff to our car. Yes. And so we have a picture of him at our car holding all of our heavy stuff because he helped us load our car up that day.
Yeah. See, that's an expo moment you can't recreate.
Well, I have a few favorites as well. Uh-oh. When I went to go set up on Friday for the expo, the news was there. And they interviewed me for a little bit. And then my dad got all these phone calls from family members saying, why is your daughter on the news? And because you know how Latinos are, they have the TV on,
but no,
they might
not
be paying attention to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like when they look, they're like, oh my God, she's on the news. What's going on? So that was one of like very exciting moments. The other one was the fact that at one of the expos, you guys were serving margaritas or micheladas. So I was like, oh yes, this is my type of expo. But I mean, it's been such an amazing journey. I also liked, I got to talk and take a picture with Jenny Lorenzo. She's from the podcast that was podcasting live there, Hyphenated. And I didn't know she had a podcast. I knew her from her other work, her like YouTube stuff and her videos. And so I was always a fan. And so meeting her, and then I got to know that she has a podcast. I started listening to her podcast. It's called Hyphenated, and it's just so much fun, and it's just a really great listen as well. So, I mean, there's been a lot of highlights. I was able to not participate, but be part of the audience of the Latina Power, and I was just like, oh, my God. It felt like a wind just kind of surged through me, and I'm just like, wow, these women are powerful. They are really, like, just really passionate. I mean, you could just feel the passion, and those have been some of my favorite moments of the expo.
Oh, thank you. I love hearing that, because really that's why we do it, and it's to hear that really means a lot. Thank you. Oh man. I know, seriously, because I'm surrounded by strong women every day. My mom's a good woman. My wife, 29 years. My daughter Sophie, I can't mess with her either. She knows all the passwords. She knows.
did she help you set up all the passwords?
Yes.
But
I love it.
Yeah, we love it.
She holds you password hostage.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And like I tell people, we've been doing it 11, 12 years. I don't know how many years we got left. Each year we tell, you know, I was like, I don't know if we got another one left of us. That's why we know we need to keep growing, you know, maybe get a board together, keep it going. Because, you know, there's a lot of burnout and there's a lot of rejection. There's a lot of rejection, but, you know, we're just waiting for somebody to, you know, to offer us to buy us out and then we can sell out and move off into the sunset.
I'll give you $5.
$5
whole dollars. I'm just going to say
I'll give you 500 pesos.
And a Raider blanket. No, but it's
all right.
But it's been great.
That's really great. I mean, it shows you sound so positive and so like energetic, and this feels like a project from your heart, and it's just really wonderful to have you on the show. We also have another segment on our podcast called Juntos y Fuertes. It's a segment of Comadres y Comics where we show love and support for members of marginalized groups within the comic community. Is there any creator property you'd like to share with us and to our listeners?
Well, you know what? I know he doesn't need... Well, he might. But like I said, lately, the last few years, he's been the host of our LGBTQ panel, Josh Trujillo. He used to work for Adventure Time, so, you know, I'm sure he's doing okay. But he's come out with all his new books, and if people see his table at an expo, definitely give him some support. And like I said, I've been proud that, you know, we've been able to get the Prism Publishing people to table at our expos, right, and be there with a proud representation, you know, and not just to show that, you know, we're down with them, but just to show the public that there's books, you know, that can cater to anybody in their family, anybody in their life that might be needing, you know, that kind of publishing, and that they can find it at the Latino Comics Expo. I'm very proud about that. So I would encourage people to check out Josh Trujillo's table and the Prism table, and the rest of the artists at the expo are amazing as well. But those two in particular, I hope, get their maximum sales, which I think they did last year. So.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I think that the Prism booth has so many amazing books at their booth. And if you have time to check them out, check them all out because they're all amazing. And Josh, if you haven't listened to our previous podcast, we reviewed one of his books, Washington's Gay General, which was amazing. We only read the ash can. So the full book was released 2 weeks ago and it's out in comic stores now. But what we read was amazing. We loved it. We gave it, I think, the whole panaderia. And he also is the writer of the new Blue Beetle series that's out. So he did a mini series this last year that was like, I think, 5 or 6 issues. And it did so well for DC that they brought him back to do another series. And that one just is starting.
Like I said, so, I know we don't have to worry too much about Josh, but he's doing big things. And like I said, one of those things where I'm proud that he's with us. That's why people say that I'm too like bellionero, but I'm like, you know what? I'll put my expo against any other expo. Okay. We got some amazing artists. We got some amazing panels. So, you know, like I said, this is time when people have to support their comunidad, right? You've already given your money to Comic-Con. You've already given to all these little time to support the expo, people. I'm getting mad.
Then before we fall into a rage, thank you so much for your time today. Is there anything else you would like to share regarding the Latino Comics Expo? Like where can listeners find more information about the event?
That's a good question. I mean, we're all on the social medias, you know, so check us out. we were lucky. Crystal not only did the poster, but she did some animated.
Yes, posts. That was so awesome. I love those.
Those are so. Oh man, I don't want to get emotional, but thank you, Crystal. Thank you. And you know, like I said, the museum has some on their website too. If you want to know more about the panels and the panel times, we'll be listing all the list of all the special guests in the next day or two. So watch that for our Instagram and, like I said, all our other social media. But anyway, the action is going to be in Long Beach, September 9th and 10th at Mola. That will be the Latino Woodstock. The thing that I forgot to tell people is that they've already approved us for a little after party at the museum.
What?
At the museum. And the food trucks will include a beer truck this year. So we got that Latino.
Oh my God, I love
it. Latino's doing it right.
After party.
It's time to call off of work.
So just to spread that among the cool people, among the cool kids, that Saturday night, we got the parking lot down for a couple hours.
Oh, no. I have a race on Sunday morning. I can't party Saturday.
Just show up in the queue. Just show up in the queue and then leave at 5.
Yeah, I can only show up to look cute. I can't drink.
I'll see that when I believe what I said. So we're happy for another expo. Every time an expo show, it's like a blessing. It's like, but like I said, you know, without the support of all the artists, my family, you guys, you know, it's another one. Because I tell people, look around. What other Latino, Latina, Latinx, whatever movement has been going on strong for 11 or 12 years? You know, no taxpayer money hardly. No academic, whatever. It's just pura raza for the community. And we've been going strong for 11, 12 years because of the help of, you know, fans like you guys and our family. So de todo corazón, gracias. It really means a lot.
Thank you for all you
thank
do.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of work. Yeah, definitely. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show on Las Pláticas, the very first of Las Pláticas episode of 2023, even though we're almost ending 2023. But thank you so much.
God, don't mention the precious time to me right now.
No, I'll take it.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing this event with us, your time, your energy, your corazón, tu coraje. Thank you so much for being on this Las Pláticas episode.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope to come back again because I do have a little secret. I was going to not share it, but ya que estoy loco, I might as well share it. But I actually came out with a brand new comic of my own, myself. Marcus Collada. We're going to get it up to snuff pretty soon. But I do have like an Ashcan version that maybe I'll have at the expo as well. So,
oh, nice.
But it's very called nice. It's called Border Avenger. It's real like inappropriate, like PG-13 kind of, you know. It's not for the people that read Scholastic. It's for the people that shoplift at 7-Eleven, like those little kids.
That should be in the description card.
I'm gonna start a genre at the shop in the YA section. What's the kids who shop at 7-Eleven?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Johnny's Market. Sorry. But I used to buy one and then shoplift one, so he would never suspect me because I'm paying for one, but I would
that's
get like two.
Hilarious! Shoplifter with a conscience.
So bad. But anyway, enough.
Well, we look forward to seeing the ash can. I hope that you do get it ready in time to be able to present your baby to the world. And of course, so we would be more than happy to have you back on the show to talk all about it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. This has been Las Pláticas with the creator and the co-founder, the baby Ricardo Padilla for the Latinx Comics Expo, and be sure to check it out. That is an amazing event. We hope to see you guys there, and we can't wait. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks so much for watching. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's on Period Network.